Aurora, CV-01, by Rick Brown, narrated by Jeffrey Kafer. Copyright 2012 by Rick Brown. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Rick Brown, care of Trident Media Group, LLC, and was produced in the year 2013 by Tantor Media Incorporated, which holds the copyright thereto. Chapter 1. Dayton Scott sat in front of the big picture window that looked out from his study across the sea of lights in the city below. He had sat in this same chair many times over his 72 years. He could still remember sitting on his father's lap, looking out this same window as his father read to him. He remembered how much smaller Vancouver had been back then. It had just started to bloom, like a rose that had opened up just enough to show its true colors. Nothing more than a distant clump of lights in the night back then, but still a beacon of hope for a world just starting to be reborn. Now the lights filled the entire valley below. Now it was a blazing symbol of prosperity, of accomplishment, and of anticipation of things yet to come. He could still hear his father's voice telling him, "Things are already changing, Dayton. By the time you are my age, everything will be completely different. It's a great time to be alive, my boy." His father had been right. Everything had changed. Things he couldn't have imagined in his wildest dreams had not only come to be, but were no longer considered wondrous. When he was born, they had just started flying around in propeller-driven aircraft. Now they were building faster-than-light spaceships that could take them away from Sol and out to the long-lost colonies of Earth. But that sudden meteoric rise in technology had come at a price, and it was a price he was desperately trying to prevent his world from having to pay. "Dayton," his wife beckoned as she entered the room, "we have a house full of guests, and you're hiding in here?" When he failed to offer a response, she became concerned and moved across the study to stand at his side. "What are you doing?"
"Just looking out the window, my dear."
"Dayton," she teased, "are you nervous?"
"Maybe just a tad," he admitted.
"Whatever for? You've given a million speeches in your lifetime."
"But none as important as this one," he sighed. She could see the worry on his face.
"You'll do fine, I'm sure," she promised, placing a comforting hand on his shoulder.
The senator smiled at her, placing his hand on hers, about to say something when a knock came at the door. "Yes?" The door opened to reveal a nondescript man in his mid-30s. He was dressed in a plain dark suit and wore a small transceiver in his left ear. "Senator?" he asked, before spotting him in the chair. "It's almost time, sir." "I'll be there momentarily."
The senator rose from his seat and put on his dress jacket. Mrs. Scott straightened her husband's jacket and adjusted his tie. "As handsome as the day I married you," she attested before giving him a kiss.
"Did he show up?" the senator asked.
"Oh, you know Nathan. I'm sure he's lurking around here somewhere, hiding in the shadows, checking out all the pretty young girls in their fancy dresses."
He knew she was lying. She hadn't seen him, and she was just trying to keep his mind off the painful subject. He had hoped that the academy would have changed his son for the better, but he was beginning to think that his youngest had already become the man he was going to be.
"Come on, honey. Time to dazzle them with your charm," she teased as she walked him to the door.
It was a beautiful summer night with clear skies that revealed an ocean of stars overhead. The south lawn of the senator's palatial estate was packed full of guests, all dressed in their most fashionable evening attire. Some were still finishing their dinners, but most were milling about, talking in little groups as they tried to see or be seen. In the background, an orchestra was playing selections from the senator's youth, inspiring some to ignore the evening's agenda and start dancing, despite disapproving looks from the older, more conservative guests. The orchestra suddenly stopped mid-chorus, breaking into the upbeat theme song used in the senator's last campaign. The attention of the crowd suddenly turned toward the top of the stairs that lead from the south entrance of the main house down into the courtyard. As if by magic and in perfect time with the music, two pale blue spotlights snapped open at the top of the stairs, revealing the senator and his wife. Again in time with the music, the senator thrust his right hand up into the air in triumph, a gesture made popular at his last victory party. The crowd broke into cheers and thunderous applause, while the senator took his wife's hand and began their
Sample complete. Ready to continue?